When it comes to the plant-based eating debate, there's more to consider than just healthy or unhealthy. Of course, we want to eat things that make us feel good and generate energy to keep us going, but there's also a major environmental component that drives a lot of people to a plant-focused diet. But you don't have to give up some of your faves entirely. Impossible Foods makes meat from plants. They're solving the meat problem with more meat. By creating delicious meat from plants that's better for you and the planet, Impossible lets you enjoy some of your favorite meaty products with a plant-based twist. Ground beef, homestyle meatballs, sausage patties, all made from plants. And that's just a few of their delicious and versatile options. No more tension between craving meat but not wanting to eat so much of it, or sacrificing your carnivorous faves for your health. Indulge in nutrient-packed, plant-based goodness and feel good doing it. Check out impossiblefoods.com to see how you can help solve the meat problem with more meat. That's impossiblefoods.com.
Hello and welcome back to the U Up Podcast Sunday Special. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Fried. It is so good to be back here with you, Jordana. We are very excited. It's a special episode, as always, on a Sunday, but extra special today because we have a special guest.
Very special guest.
She is one of the hosts of The Daily Show.
Sometimes.
Sometimes host. hilarious comedian and author. Author of the new book, Hello Friends, Stories of Dating, Destiny, and Day Job, Dulce Sloan. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
And you guys know each other.
We go way back.
Yes. I have a nail picture of, so I do this thing on my Instagram where I take, whenever I get my nails done, to showcase the my nails being did, I take a picture on a man's body part. Mm. So like a chest, an ab, newly dyed waves. And so I have a picture of Jared's thigh.
Yes.
With my nails on it. And
we couldn't find my ab.
I don't need no ab. I need that thigh, honey. And so it's funny because it's just like I had on like this pretty like pearl ring with like stones around it. It's not a real ring, but it's from Macy's. So nice costume jewelry. And my hand is on his leg, and it's on like the middle finger of my left hand. And I started getting in like all these comments were like, "Congratulations!" And I was like, "I don't think y'all know how this works."
Also, you don't know the finger,
right? Also, what a wild ass engagement announcement. Right. We're like, "Hey, here's this man's leg,
right?
Because it's his
That's
whole
a real
crotch
soft launch.
Yes, it's his whole crotch in the picture."
Sometimes people do that like engagement picture that's like a little too sexual. You ever see those where you're like, what are they doing? Like, this was like, it looked like it for a romance novel.
Make out?
A little bit.
Yeah. Like, I'm happy that anyone else is hogtied someone and doesn't have to wake up by themselves every morning.
Well, let's talk about that because you have a book out and everyone, we want you to go buy it. It's like, would you describe it as like memoir in essay form?
Well,
how would you describe it?
It's kind of like that because like I wanted to call it, don't call it a memoir. I'm only 39. But, the publisher was like, well, let's not tell people what it's not. And I was like, okay, I hear you, but that's hilarious.
Yeah.
And so that's how we ended up with the name, because I was like, go, hello, friends, which I think is fun to say, and then to tell people about what it is. And so I see it as essays. And so I wrote the book because my manager tricked me. And he called me up one day, and he was like, hey, what if you wrote a book? And I was like, that sounds hard. No, thank you.
Mm.
And he's like, well, what if you just took a meeting? And I was like, I'll always take a meeting.
Let's chit chat.
Yeah, let's just see. Let's take a meeting. And then four meetings later, this man called me and was just like, yo, you got to write a book.
And from that meeting, they were like, we want it.
Because like, it was like this meeting. And then I was like, well, it was this, like that meeting. And then you write a proposal and you meet with other people. And then just like, and they're like, okay, so this company called Anscape, who's owned by Disney, bought the proposal.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like, they bought the idea for the book from the proposal. And I was like, oh, damn it. I gotta write a book.
Right. Money's in the bank. Now I gotta write.
Right. So you're just like, we're putting money in your account, ma'am. Come up off these pages.
Now and you owe them.
Now I truly owe them. But the crazy thing is, when you write a book, they pay you three times. They don't pay your advance all at once.
Mm-hmm.
They pay you when you sign the contract, and then when you submit the finished book, and then the day the book gets published, as in like when it gets released to the general public. So they pay you three times. But like, I didn't get paid. It's just like, so it goes over like a year, 2 years almost is how long it takes to get all three of these payments.
Right.
So
then you got to earn out. your payment to make more money.
Right. And so then they get their, so you don't get royalties until they get their advance back.
So I guess makes it hard to be motivated to write these things? Like for me, that would be like, if there's, you know, a third of the money, I'd be like, fuck it. You know, like I it would like slip my mind.
Well,
you know?
Some of these publishers have contracts where I'm just like, if you don't give them a book, they get their money back.
Yeah, well, that would motivate me.
Right. And so it took a year to write, and I was still doing Daily Show, still doing the cartoon, still on the road, touring and stuff. So it was a lot. And so I was like, I don't know how I'm going to even start to do this. So I called Michelle Buteau because she just had her book Survival of the Thickest come out. And I was like, how the fuck do I do this?
Right.
And she said to start at a place where like, start with stories that were too long to tell on stage.
Okay.
So, you know, sometimes stuff just needs more setup, or it's just like, hey, here's the thing that happened when I was a kid.
Right.
And you need so much setup for it. So it's just too long to tell the story on stage.
And in a stand-up club, especially like American stand-up clubs, like they're like, get to it.
Right.
You know, you might need a moment of silence through a story to get people to a place to hear the fun part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would understand that's made for more writing than it is the stage.
Right. And so I started with like, okay, here's comedic stories that I want to tell on stage about like being a kid and dating and like working in day jobs and stuff. And then I'm like, okay, people weren't going to know about my childhood and, you know, how I got on The Daily Show and like, you know, me doing theater and stuff like that. And so that's how I kind of, so I see it like as a collection of essays. I don't really, I guess it's a memoir. I guess that's the way to put
right.
it.
Well,
I guess.
Can you tell us about some of like the dating stories that you've, without giving any too much away?
Well, one of the dating stories, I talk about how I don't use their real names in the book, but two, I don't use their real names in real life.
Why don't you do that?
Why don't I use their names?
In real life.
You don't want to get sued.
No. In real life, I don't use their names. So it's just like my ex, my friends only knew him as the mechanic.
Why? Was there a reason you did that?
Because he lost the use of his name.
Okay. Explain that.
Because he's acting like an asshole. So he lost the use of his name. So like, and then there's another dude I was talking to who was the dummy because he was dumb. And that was his best friend. But then there was like UPS guy. There's a guy recently, there's the Italian, and then there's the liar.
Man, the liar really lost out on a good nickname. You know, like I'd rather be the mechanic than the liar. Right.
I mean, it gets straight down to business. Right. So,
What's Jared in your phone as?
My love.
That's right.
There you go. Yeah.
I love it.
But I know me and Jared's love could never be. So that's all right. Well, I'll have a crush on Jared.
Well, he doesn't want to become the liar, so that's probably
You wouldn't lie to me.
I want to keep my good nickname.
You would never lie to me. No, well, Jared is too nice to lie to me. But.
So are those people in your phone, is those names also?
Well, the mechanic, his number hasn't been saved in my phone since the first Obama administration. But I told him that he was in the book. So neither one of our phones are
saved. You told him?
Yeah.
Okay.
But
how'd you get in touch?
I called him.
Okay.
Because here's the thing. We were joking about it. Like, neither one of us has each other's number saved in their phone, but we started talking in 2007. So we know each other's numbers.
You haven't memorized?
I mean, I've known him for so long.
Wow.
It's like my mom, like his number, my mom's number, the old number for Pizza Hut. Like, there's only a few number, 911. Like, there's only a few numbers that you know.
Right.
And his number is one of those numbers.
And you don't save it because he doesn't deserve it.
No, why would he be in my phone? He's married.
Okay.
Yeah, he's married now. His number can't be in my phone. So like last January, I opened for Trevor and he was in the audience in Atlanta.
Did he know you were going to be there?
No.
Okay.
And so when I talked to him later, he was standing with his wife and he was just like, yeah, I bought tickets because I thought you'd be here because of how tight you and Trevor seemed to be at the desk. And so the tickets went on sale in like October or something, like October, November. So he bought a ticket October, November. The show was in January. I didn't know I was going to be on the show till 3 days before. Mm. And what was so crazy about it is that he would refuse to come see me do stand-up.
Well, this is interesting because, you know, famously Jordana on this show had you know, a situationship that showed up at our live show in Vancouver.
Vancouver?
Yes.
Well,
he happened to be there and came to the show. Yeah. Well, we think.
So we said. Right.
Because y'all ain't, no.
We didn't know.
No, y'all aren't a thing.
No.
I'm just making sure. I just want to know where we at.
Wouldn't I have told you that
before
on the show?
I mean, I did say I had a crush on you, and she had no response or reaction. So that should have been my right. question.
Oh.
But maybe she don't mind. She's like,
yeah, how could you? Yeah.
Like, oh, you can have a crush on my man. I'm gonna see his dick later. Like I don't. Care less, ma'am.
Well, what do you think that is? Like the showing up, thinking you might be there, knowing that there's a history that's not really like...
In the same way that the only time other than accidentally seeing me was he showed up to a play that I was doing when I was dating someone else.
Okay. And did he text you after the play, before the play? Like,
no, I invited... He's like, I'm going to come because like he was fixing my car one time. And I was like, you know, this play that I've been in for a year and a half that I've been asking you to come to? He's like, yeah. I said, the last week is like these dates. And so he ended up coming. But then, you know, like when you go see someone in a play or you come see someone in a show, you wait till the end of it to talk to that person.
Right. Right. Wait out front.
I get there. He's gone. And I was like, where are you? He was like, oh, I had to go meet up my grandpa. And I was like,
grandpa?
Sure. He was helping his grandpa was sick, so he was going to help his grandpa.
Okay. What time did the play end?
Did you comp the ticket?
The middle of the day!
Oh, okay.
Did you comp the ticket?
There was a comping of a ticket.
Okay.
But what was so interesting about that, so there's a girl, so I talk about it in the book. I met his ex at a show. No, me and her were... I met his ex because we were extras in a movie together.
Okay.
And mind you, while me and this girl are talking, I don't want to spoil like the whole rest of the story, but basically, me and this girl had a lot in common, I'll say that. And so so the show that he came to see, the role that I was playing, she also auditioned for it and didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
So then she's like, she wants to come see me in the show. And I was like, yeah, sure, I don't care. And that's before I know the bitch was nuts. Because she, and I got her comp ticket, whatever, tickets like $25. And I was like, yeah, come. And then right before that same night that she's gonna come, she goes, oh, I asked the mechanic to come and he said he can't make it. And I was like, why the fuck would you ask him to come with you to see me?
Right.
Because when I met her, she was telling me that she was doing plays and stuff too, and he wouldn't come see her either. So he wouldn't go see, and they were actually
guy does not like the theater.
No, apparently, or being supportive of right. the women he's in relationships with. So I was never the girlfriend in name. Right? She was a girlfriend in name. I never was. I was just around for 8 fucking years.
You guys know I'm a huge fan of Skims, and with warmer weather coming up, I recently tried out one of their t-shirts. Skims makes the best basics and foundations, so it's no surprise that it's the best fitting tee I've ever worn. Finding the perfect t-shirt can be such a challenge, whether it's the fit or the quality, but with Skims, they make the most flattering shirts for everyone. Honestly, I love pretty much everything Skims makes, but I really love their t-shirts. They're like form-fitting, and they make my body just look that much smoother. I have the soft, smoothing, seamless t-shirt in Onyx. It has amazing versatility. It is literally a must-have for a spring wardrobe. They're stretchy, they're flattering. You can dress it up or dress it down, and you don't have to worry about compromising style or comfort. I also have the cotton jersey t-shirt in marble, and it's really just changed the game for me. It's taking the regular t-shirt, it's leveling it up. There's no stretched collars or hems, and it literally fits like a dream. Skims t-shirts are made with innovative technology while always keeping style and comfort in mind. From crop silhouettes to long sleeve layering tees, Skims has something for every fit and every body. Shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com, now available in sizes extra extra small to 4x. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select you up in the drop down menu that follows. Are you ready to shop? Rakuten's Big Give Week is back. Get 15% cash back at hundreds of stores, including Headliners, Ulta, Fenty Beauty, Levi's, Adidas, and so much more. Seriously, the list seems endless. Rakuten is how the in-the-know shoppers get the best savings. They shop the brands they love and earn cash back on top of deals. During Big Give Week, May 6th to May 13th, the cash back rates are even bigger. Personally, I'll be shopping for beauty and apparel. You can save on everything you need for summer, like clothing, outdoor gear, and travel. You know I love to find the best deals while I'm shopping. And trust me, Rakuten is the hack to save money while shopping. Rakuten is the most rewarding way to shop and save because members can earn cash back on everything they buy. Rakuten is a shopping platform that partners with over 3,500 stores across every category like beauty, clothing, electronics, travel, and dining. And this week only, you're going to get the best deals ever.
Membership is free, and when you sign up and shop today, you can get an extra 10% cash back boost. That's an extra 10% cash back on top of the 15% cash back. You won't see higher cash back rates than these. Go to Rakuten.com or download the Rakuten app. R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Shoppers get it.
Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any six styles each month. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There's no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. So it's no big deal if you lose a button, spill something, or you just need to take a break. They have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. Get fast, free shipping and returns and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility. No laundry for you to worry about. And you always have the option to buy what you love. For sometimes up to 75% off. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code UUP20. Just go to NUULY.com, that's Nuuly with two U's, and enter the code UUP20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with two U's, with code UUP20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Can we back up here? Yeah. I want like the full story, because it sounds like a classic situation that a lot of the listeners go through with this, like, on again, off again. Sounds like a situationship type thing without a real label for many years.
But
right?
Also, I kept buying used cars. So it was like... But also,
what do you mean by that?
Like, literally, because he's a mechanic.
Oh, okay.
Well, how did you guys meet? Take us back. Take us to the beginning.
I thought it was another nickname for the guys.
I thought it was a used car.
It's very much like the liar lied to me for 5 months.
Uh-huh.
The Italian was Italian.
Right.
And the man is a mechanic.
Okay.
Right. So
your car breaks down, has an issue in 2007. You go to get your car fixed. You strike up a... something with his room.
So I used to manage an auto body shop, and this is like 2007, so I'm like 2 years out of college. I used to manage an auto body shop. He worked at a dealership that was literally down the street. And so my car there was something wrong with like the air filtration system. So sometimes when I would turn, the car would turn off because the car was basically suffocating.
Mm-hmm.
So the air wasn't coming in to combust the gasoline to keep the car moving sometimes when I would turn. So the car would suffocate and turn off. And so I basically was like, I can't keep going through this. So
I'm saying, like I've ever dealt with a car thing.
Sounds like something that could happen.
That'll
be $7,000. Yep, okay.
This is New York versus LA. We don't even know what a car is.
Right, and I grew up in Atlanta, so everybody has, you start driving when you're 13.
Mm-hmm.
So I pull the car up. Now, mind you, his roommate was the parts guy. And the auto body shop I worked at would get parts from them. And so I would talk to his redneck roommate on the phone all the time. Roommate comes in one day a couple months before. We see each other. We're just like, because we've been flirting on the phone for months. And he came in one day. We both went, nah. And so he started telling his roommate about me, and that's the mechanic. And so I meet him, and I see him. And I'm just like, and I just get this feeling. Like something just told me you're going to know this man for a long time. And I didn't know what that meant.
Sexual chemistry.
That I don't know.
That happens though. You walk into a room, you see someone, you kind of go.
It's like a pheromone thing.
Right.
It wasn't, I don't know if it was like a sexual, it was just like, he was just intriguing to talk to.
Vibed.
There was just like a vibe, but there was just something like I saw him and I just heard something tell me you're going to know this man for a long time. And I knew what that meant. And so I meet him. My car is not drivable. We kept turning off wherever it was. And so we worked down the street from each other, and then he lived 12 minutes from my house. And his mom lived around the corner from me.
Mm-hmm.
So the first day I meet him, he ends up driving me home, and I'm on the phone with my mom because at one point I had to tell him, can you tell my mom that you're not going to kill me? Because my mother was like, let me talk to him to make sure you're not going to die. And I was like, all right. And he's like, I'm not going to kill your daughter? And she's like, okay, good.
And Have fun.
And then...
Well, you know.
Yeah, so we went back and forth from me.
When you start dating.
Yeah, but this was like from, so I think about like 23 to like 31.
That's how long you guys were on before. Again.
I get it, yeah.
Well, you know what's interesting? There's a line in your book about, it talks about scarcity.
Mm-hmm.
And this idea of scarcity, when mm-hmm. you're, like, even the way you guys are starting is like how situationships start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
12 minutes down the block, the mom around the corner, we yeah. work near each comfy, other. There's right. comfortability.
There's a vibe.
There's a vibe. Yeah. I can trust him. Hey, I won't kill your daughter. Yeah. Like, nice things like that. And it, yeah. it is one of those things that, like, you don't look, until you're in it, you don't realize it. Because, like, when you, it's hard to be scarce for someone that makes you feel so comfortable.
Well, because it wasn't the sex that kept me around. I'll definitely tell you that.
What was it?
Because that's what, it was the comfortable. It was just like he's down the street. Mm-hmm. But it was always,
because and familial, I would think. Familiar, because
it was like, well, he only acted right from Labor Day to about St. Patrick's Day.
And Labor Day to St. Patrick's, so the winter months. Let's talk about that.
Okay. So he'd be act right for cuffing season. His birthday's in December.
When you say act right, what does that mean?
That means that it's just like responding to phone calls. I would see him, all this other stuff.
Okay.
Because we got in this very messed up cycle where he knew I didn't like being ignored because it's disrespectful. And he didn't like people coming to his house unannounced because it's disrespectful. So then he would have these moments where like there'd be stuff going on with him, but he wouldn't tell me.
Mm-hmm.
He would just be ignoring me. And then I'd show up at his house unannounced. And so he'd be like,
this reminds me of those like TV shows where like people were running through the doors, like as they're like chasing each other.
Fucking Faulty Towers. And so I one day I showed up and he was like, I knew you were gonna do this. And I was like, then I guess I'm not unannounced. And so
very soap opera.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
yeah.
so it was always this kind of stupid cycle. And there was one time I was over there. And I had a ringtone where you could record. So on this phone I had, you could record your voice and make your recorded voice your ringtone, right? And so I had his number saved as do not answer. And then
I had the same thing.
But also I had a recording of my voice for my do not answer numbers that said, this is a do not answer number calling you.
Oh, I love
so
that.
So I didn't have to look at my phone.
Should have done that.
I could just hear, this is a do not answer number calling you. And I'm just like, see what this motherfucker wants.
This is like Richie Rich.
I literally I had that in my phone. It was like, he is bad for you, do not answer.
Yeah. Right. And so, but the thing is, I had a couple do not answer numbers that I did finally want to answer. So I had to start going, do not answer the mechanic, do not answer the dummy, do not answer UPI. So, because I was like, sometimes I'm saving as do not answer, and then I wouldn't know who it was.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, bullshit.
Did you ever answer?
Well, it depends on what the word was after. Like, what is the adjective for this do not answer?
Okay.
Because it'd be like, do not answer. I think I was like, do not answer moving guy. And I'm like, well, I'm not responding to him. Fuck him. Because you still lost your name. So one day we had a, you know, it was him ignoring me. I show up, blah, 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 blah. And he, of course, was not, it was, the communication was bad. And so I was just crying and I was upset and I left. And then I got in my car and I was like, he's gonna go to bed and I'm gonna go home and cry. I can't accept that. So I went back in the house. So I went back to the door, he let me back in and I put my phone down and I said, call my phone. He said, what? I said, just call my phone. And then he hears the recording of my voice going, this is a do not answer number calling you.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, what's that about? I said, also, my friends don't know your name. He's like, what? I said, all my friends know you as the mechanic. Have a nice night. And then I left.
And that was the last time you saw him?
No, I still saw him for seven more years.
I
pulled up to his job one day with divorce papers. True divorce papers.
Real ones.
Yeah. I got.
Even though you weren't in a relationship.
Girl, I Googled divorce papers, saw what they look like. I went on Microsoft, printed them up, pulled up his job with a manila envelope. He kept them for years. And then when he went out of the country to work, he sent me alimony. It's just a running gag.
Were you doing this to show him how seriously you were taking this, even though you were kind of like doing cartoonish things?
Yeah.
Like, and he never took the hint, or
like, how did it finally end?
How do you break the cycle?
You moved.
I moved.
Physically moved away.
I went to LA,
and he didn't call.
He wouldn't see me before I moved because it hurt him too much for me to, because I was leaving. But I was like, but I had two boyfriends in between.
Yeah,
the time that I knew him, so I'm like, you never, and I've dated his best friend for a second. So just like, you didn't do anything to show me that you give a shit. Because you're saying all of these things, but you're doing nothing.
Right.
So I moved, and within like the first 3 months of me being gone is how he met his, and then he met his wife.
Well, that's like a cold turkey thing, because it's like going to, you know, it's like going to a rehab center. You moving, you're the drug. That's right. What keeps mm-hmm. coming back.
For both of you.
Right.
Right. You're right. Down yeah. the street.
Right.
Like, and you're, yeah, for both of you. And, yeah. and it's like, you know, one person acts to go get the drugs and the other person is the dealer. You know, and it yeah. goes back and
forth.
It takes
two to be in like a toxic thing.
Because I said yeah. to him one day, I said, we have an abusive relationship. And he's like, I never hit you. I said, if you ever touch
that's
me,
the
they
first thing he said.
Right. I already told your mom I'm not going to kill you.
Yeah.
And I was like, if you ever touch me, they never find your body. What right. I said was, we're in a mostly abusive relationship. So after a while, he does the thing where he's ignoring me, and then I didn't show up. I was like, fuck this. I'm not popping up. You've made it very clear that you don't want to talk to me. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to listen. So I don't care about if this is disrespectful. I don't care if this is hurtful or whatever. I'm going to listen to you. So if you want this to be done, fine, we're done. And I didn't say anything. And then, because it usually, because like he would do, I would usually pull this stunt on a Sunday or a Wednesday. I don't know why I would always line up that way. And so this time I was just like, I'm not showing up. I'm not doing it. So eventually I hear from him and he asked me to come over. I was like, all right, I come over. And mind you, by this point, I was living somewhere else. So I wasn't 12 minutes down the street. I was 30 something minutes away. Mm. But it's Georgia. 30 minutes is 5 feet. Right, like, we don't care.
Yeah.
And so I get to the house and we're sitting there and he goes, and I might have been there for 10 minutes. And he goes, why didn't you pop up? I said, what do you mean? He said, you didn't pop up. He said, usually when this happens, you pop up. And I was like, oh, I finally listened to you. Mm. You didn't right. want to see me. You didn't want to talk to me. So I finally listened. And then he acted right for 6 months because I spooked him. Because he thought I was actually going to leave.
Right, he was going to lose his drug.
Mm-hmm.
Well, did you ever, like, did you want to be in a relationship during
this? Yeah, he knew this. But also when I met him, he was 25 and had a house and two cars.
Okay.
So, by rules, you trap his ass. I was 23, he was 25, he had a house in his name.
Yeah.
Right.
He owned a home and owned two vehicles. You trap this fucker.
Mm.
You marry this man.
So you're saying he was like good on paper?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And awful everywhere else. Not that, I mean, he was fun to hang out with.
I mean, you must have had like a real connection.
I did. Like, this is the first. Yes. It's like the first man that I loved. We didn't rarely say it to each other, but there were like times where things were really good and times that things were trash.
Right. This is. We assume there was good times for this to keep coming back together.
Right. Because like my mom at one point said to me, she's like, you have to tell me about the good things that happened with him because I can't understand why you keep dealing with this boy.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. one of my homegirls was just like, you can't talk to me about this man anymore. She said other words, but this seems like a nice podcast.
So it's not a nice story.
But you know what my homegirl said.
We talk about dating here. And in this, I love this story. I don't love that it happened, but it's a commiseration. No. This
it's
show
a
is a commiseration.
Classic right,
there's someone out. There's yeah. someone out there who's in the middle of this with their own mechanic.
Leave.
What do you say? Leave. Hi, go where they go move to California?
Move out of state. Become a famous comedian.
Right. Because here's the
write
thing.
A book.
Because I remember I was at his house one day. And I realized, like, because we'd only ever gone on like one, maybe two dates.
Ever.
Because a recession hit when I met him.
I thought he's so great on paper.
Here's the thing. He worked at a dealership.
Okay.
And people were coming in and were getting like $100 oil change. But this is 2008. The recession hit.
Yeah.
People weren't getting $100, $200 oil changes.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to anybody down the street. So like he made $25 an hour and he used to make 80 hours a week. And then the recession hit and he went from making 80 hours a week to 13 hours a week.
What about a pizza date?
He couldn't pay his bills.
Okay.
The last thing he's going to do is buy me the man. Like,
also, you're 25 and 23.
Yeah.
The idea of dating is a little different than.
No. We know to go outside. You know to go outside. You know, go outside and go do a thing.
I'm not making excuses for him. I'm just saying, like, I can understand that, like, when you meet at that age, the idea, it gets comfy cozy.
Well, you know,
ends, and then you go, well, we hang out this way, you know?
Right.
Like, I can understand.
Well, because it was, but it hit so hard, and then he was gone for a year, because mm-hmm. he went overseas. And then, like, I dated two other people in the time that I knew him, but we never really stopped talking to each other. Here's the thing. While I was writing this book, I had to, the dating chapter is the thing that affected me the most, because it's the thing that made me the most sad. Because I had to figure out how to be nice to myself about decisions that I made when I was 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28.
When it comes to the plant-based eating debate, there's more to consider than just healthy or unhealthy. Of course, we want to eat things that make us feel good and generate energy to keep us going, but there's also a major environmental component that drives a lot of people to a plant-focused diet. But you don't have to give up some of your faves entirely. Impossible Foods makes meat from plants. They're solving the meat problem with more meat. By creating delicious meat from plants that's better for you and the planet, Impossible lets you enjoy some of your favorite meaty products with a plant-based twist. Ground beef, homestyle meatballs, sausage patties, all made from plants. And that's just a few of their delicious and versatile options. No more tension between craving meat but not wanting to eat so much of it, or sacrificing your carnivorous faves for your health. Indulge in nutrient-packed, plant-based goodness and feel good doing it. Check out impossiblefoods.com to see how you can help solve the meat problem with more meat. That's impossiblefoods.com.
You know that feeling when you're going on your first date with the person you've been seriously crushing on and realize you have absolutely nothing to wear? Maybe you find yourself wishing you had the perfect pair of jeans, the one you can fancy up, fancy down, and just look better every time you wear them. Well, that's why you need to check out Lee Denim. I love Lee Denim. I'm wearing them today in the office. I'm wearing their jeans. They also have this other pair that I have at home that I'm really excited to wear. It's like a little baggier, but it's still so comfortable, and yet it's still so flattering. I don't know how they do it. Every time you wash it, they also look even better. And I love that they flatter every body type. Denim trends come and go, but Lee is legendary for creating denim cuts that fit your body. Their denim gets better with age, and their classics fit into every look. Lee's denim jacket is the one to reach for without fail, a classic. The Rider jean jacket is the OG, what every other brand has copied for decades. Everyone is an icon in their own right, and Lee makes denim so people can own their style and feel good in their clothes. Their spring collection is here, so get the freshest looks and cuts before anyone else. You can find your Lee fits by visiting lee.com. That's lee.com to shop spring looks now.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
I mean, there's a line from your book, Candace pulled it for us, and it says, when you convince yourself that most men don't want you, you live in a place of scarcity.
Right.
So for someone who's living in that place, that were like, what were the red flags that made you realize it? And how do you like find the way out? Like, how do you?
You don't. Because you keep getting shown, you have to like yourself more than the reality of your situation. Because the reason I had to forgive myself for those things is because I want to get married, I want to have children, and I'm 40. And I'm nowhere closer to it than I was when I was 23.
Well, I mean,
I'm further away from it than I was at 23. Because at least there were motherfuckers to block in my phone.
Right.
There's no one I'm blocking in my phone. There's no one I'm just end up going, well, let me go ahead and save this man his do not answer with his name. So let me just see if maybe he does hit me up. No,
but don't you think, like, I guess like those men that you're blocking in your phone, those were distractions. Like having nobody to block in your phone might be a better thing than having people to block in your phone to look positively.
Well, I agree with that.
You don't know they're a distraction until it doesn't work out.
But like now, right. Okay, you say you're in the same place, but now you have the knowledge of what kind of people to avoid, right? And what you're in, like, I'm sure from that situation, you're like, these are the things that I liked about this guy, and these are the things that I didn't.
I think that's so hard. I want to believe that too. Like I'm 39 single and sitting here going, you know, feeling of very much what you're saying, where you're like, you start doing the math on things. You go at 23, oh, I got time, whatever. And then at 39, you go, oh, well, in 10 years, the kid would be 8 years old and I'll be 50. You know, you do that kind of math. So, and then you go, well, I keep making the same mistakes. Why do I keep putting my time and energy into the thing that, and again, it goes back to the drug analogy. It's like, I'm addicted to the same thing in each thing. You know?
Well, now it's me, it's, you're dealing with the issue that I've had now is that now it's not the younger guy who's like, oh, he's just trying to figure things out and all this other stuff, right? Because that was cute. Now it's, I don't have time for the cute. Also, I'm doing well. Mm-hmm. The thing a man loves is a woman who's not doing well.
Because
we have convinced men that the only reason a woman is with him is because she needs him to survive. Mm. So that's why women with money have a harder time finding a mate. Because men are convinced that if you can't provide for her financially, she doesn't need you. So since my dependency to be inside and to have lights and water and to be literally indoors,
right,
isn't dependent upon you. Well, men don't need women. Da, 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 da. No, we need, why? Like, women don't need, of course I need a man. Trash day is Tuesday. What are you talking about?
Well, why do we need men?
Right.
But it's like,
you want someone to make
I'm 5'4". That's why I need a man.
Get something off the
shelf. Things are high. Right. Trash day is Tuesday.
Well, I would also say, like, you know, I talked about this last night. It's like, and I've said this on this show, like, the only thing that can ruin my life is a relationship. You know,
so,
like.
So, but this is the thing. You can't say, I want to be in one. It's like when people say the term starving artist, right?
Okay, yeah.
You can't say that the thing that you want to do with your life is slowly killing you. So you can't say that you want to be in a relationship, but it also will ruin your life.
That's fair. Yeah.
So either you want to be with a bitch or you don't. And it sounds like you don't. And it sounds like you talk about wanting to be with one when you really don't want to be with one.
Well, that could be the case. No, I do think, like, life is good. Like, that's kind of the same. I see eye to eye with you where it's like the need isn't for
companionship.
Well, the need is companionship, I guess.
Is it a companionship or pussy? So what you want?
How about companion pussy? How do I combine the two? It sounds like you want a relationship,
ding dong. I'll say this. I'm in a place right now where I just ended a situation with a gentleman, a guy that I was seeing.
How long were you guys seeing each other?
Just a few months, but I've known him for years.
Okay.
And the reason that things didn't move forward is because, you know, he wasn't comfortable where he was in his career to be in a relationship. Mm-hmm. And I was not comfortable with where he was in his career to be in a relationship with him. So I said this to his face and it looks like we're on the same page.
Right.
Well, do you think do you feel that's you growing up? Seeing that, or do you think that, like, could you have seen that at 25?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was trying to get with a dude because he had a house and two cars.
Well, I think the point there, which makes a lot of sense, is like the more successful that you become as a woman, I don't think it's like, oh, so many men are intimidated by you and don't want to date you. Yes, but it's like, I know, I think it's like that your standards are like someone who's also has their shit together and makes maybe as much or even more money than you, which is harder to find the more money you make.
But it's to the point where that I was saying, like, that guy whose job isn't together, who's not ready in his career.
Yeah.
That relationship could ruin your life.
Could, because I would have to spend all my time building him up.
Building him up, right.
Right. We want to make this assumption that men are intimidated. They are. And it's like, if you have been told that you need to do a certain thing to be able, I have been with men who have made less than me and aren't doing as much as I'm doing, and they have resented me for it. For just existing in a different place.
Right.
Do you resent them also?
No, because I'm making the choice to talk to you.
Okay.
Now, if I was, like, for instance, this last guy who I could easily see myself marrying, I truly love this man. We love each other. But I can see him resenting me for being more successful, and I could see me resenting him for me paying all the bills in my house. Right. Because I told him, if your draw's going to be in my house, you got to come in this bitch with a certain amount of dollars every month, and he ain't got it.
So was there resentment at the time it ended, or were you getting ahead of it?
There couldn't be no resentment because his draws never got in my house. You see what I'm saying? Right. Neither of us ever, like, the thing we did do that was different was just like, it's, we at one point took like physical intimacy out of the equation.
Which helps.
Which did help. Because yeah. a lot of my friends were like, I don't understand why you're doing this. And it's just like, well, why would y'all stop having sex? It's like, because I've done so many. Because this man would put me in a dick haze. That's why.
Mm. And also, you know, there is an element of like sex. We know it.
Sex, we know it. So I know, I know the sex is amazing.
And it alters, right. It alters your, maybe your decision making.
Yes. Because yeah. we've all been in a decision where a dick hits you, right? You're like, yeah. hey, what do you need? What do you need for me to get this dick again? What do you want to go to law school? Rent.
Right. Yeah. No, I'll it's never, true. What do you want me to be like? How do you want me to act? I'll do it. Yeah.
I will help you.
Yeah.
Well,
that's the issue is I will help you. I'm not paying for law school, but I will help you.
I'll tutor you.
Right. Cue cards, what you need. What legally, what are we doing? And so it was just like, we both were like, we need to take this out of the equation. We need to figure things out. We love each other. We care about each other. But at the same time, it was just like, we both need to be responsible adults enough to know this isn't going to work.
I think anyone who's going through the situationship right now, who's dealt with this in their past, they're going to love Dulce's book. And Dulce's so funny, so great, so amazing.
Flirting with me.
I'm telling everyone how much I love you, okay?
I love you too.
It's called Hello Friends, Story of Dating, Destiny, and Day Jobs. Anywhere you buy books, we're going to have a link in the bio of this episode to make sure you can get to the buying of the book quicker.
And I'm on Audible. I read my own book.
You did it. You did the voice?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, which I did. Which people are always like, oh my God, did you read it yourself? I was like, who the fuck else is going to read it?
Candace did the Audible.
Ooh.
Loved it. So anyone looking for a recommendation, full recommendation from Candace on the Audible version of the book. And
thank you so much.
Listen, we love Dulce. We want to have you back. I mean, this is such a fun conversation because it's like,
I want more. I want to know real. More.
Oh, I'm bad at this. I can spot an ain't shit dude from 50 paces. A good man. I mean, girl, bitch, good luck. But if your boyfriend's about to be a problem, I got two separate friends and two of them had at least three boyfriends. Three on one side and two on the other, where I met the dude and been like, nope.
And you were right?
Every time.
I'll show her a picture of Mike, see what she's
saying. Let me tell you, I don't know a good man, but I'm telling you, it ain't shit, dude.
We got to do a YouTube with you here and have people send in their guy that they're not sure about.
Love that.
And
next
then
episode,
write the email and send us the picture, and then you call out whether they're an ain't shit dude. You gotta feel his energy.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, maybe they send in a whole dating app. Like the whole dating app profile of the guy.
Yeah.
But listen, if anything does not give me results, it is a dating app.
Go watch The Daily Show whenever Dulce hosts and go get the book. Hello, Friends, Stories of Dating, Destiny, and Day Jobs. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And that's our Sunday special. We'll be back on Wednesday.
Bye. Boom. The U Up Podcast is produced by Candace Maniga and Shannon Sassone. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico and Shannon Sassone. Social media by Candace Maniga. Be sure to follow at u.up.podcast on Instagram and send us your emails to uup@betches.com.
Thank you to our sponsor, Netflix. Bridgerton is back. And dearest gentle readers, you will not want to miss this chapter. Longtime friends Colin Bridgerton and Penelope Featherington find themselves in quite the precarious situation. The wallflower is ready to bloom, but she needs Colin's help to find a marriage match. Will these friends defy expectations to find true love? And will Penelope's secret identity as Lady Whistledown destroy any chance she may have at love? You shall have to watch and see. Watch part one of Bridgerton, only on Netflix, May 16th. Betches.